taking their place in a long true line of everyday Americans,
helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel.
Pay the bills, stay out of jail, love the neighbors and have a few good friends. Every day you were every day American.
Welcome, everyday Americans. You've joined the Constitution Study, where we read and study the Constitution. We teach the rising generation to be free. You know, I'm asked occasionally why I do this. Why do I put in the time, the effort, not to mention the money, to keep the Constitution Study running? To, you know, spend the time to put together these episodes, the articles I write, the videos I write, the talks that I give, the speeches and classes and teachings. Why spend that much time? You know, I had a very successful IT career for 30 years. I worked my way through the different industries within information technology, had a very successful career, had no wants nor needs of any significance. Yet now I spend my days reading through news feeds and watching videos and listening to podcasts and gathering information to compile it, to put it out to people, to help them understand why reading and studying the Constitution is so important. And I'm asked sometimes, and reasonably so, why would I do that? Why would I walk away from a very comfortable career to do this? And the answer, I guess, is, well, it's sort of twofold. The first and most obvious answer is for my daughter. See, America is not nearly as free today as it was when I was a young man. Forget when I was a child. Even as a young man, there are liberties and freedoms that are disappearing, and in many cases have disappeared. They're considered radical now, the idea of freedom of speech, the idea of freedom of the press, seems to be radical in many circles. And I don't want to leave my daughter a country where her liberty and her freedom and her rights are worse than what I inherited. And while I don't really see any way I can make them better, I have to do whatever I can to stop the decline. I owe it to her as much as I owe it to everyone else to take this information and make it available. You know, I've been a Christian most of my adult life, and this idea of loving my neighbor means I can't ignore things when they are damaging themselves. When I see the American population running for a cliff, I can't simply stand back and say, oh, no, I love you so much, I'm going to let you just kind of run off that cliff. No, I have to do something. So one reason, obviously, is my daughter. I want to leave my daughter a better country than the one we have today. My ultimate goal is to give her one that was better than the one I inherited, but I'm reasonable enough to recognize that's really, really unlikely. So what's the other reason? I suppose the best way to describe it is an inability to stand by and watch people harm themselves. I look at the country today, and I look at so many people in the country today, in our nation, that are pulling each other apart, that are damaging, that are disgraceful, that are hateful towards other people. And to have at least the idea of a solution, or at least something to help mitigate it, and not share that, well, to me, that would be dereliction of the duty of an American citizen. To watch freedom and liberty disappearing in America, having an answer that can help, and doing nothing Well, to me, that is unconscionable. That's the equivalent of seeing a dying person and unwilling to give them a drink. To see someone who's sick but withholding medicine, that I couldn't live with myself. So I guess the second reason I do this is so that I can sleep at night. Knowing not that I've fixed the problem, but that I've done what I can to fix the problem. And trust me, it's a big problem. And there are lots of examples and lots of metaphors I can use, but I came across a couple of quotes that really disturbed me. The first is titled "Prayer of a Weary Black Woman" by Shaniqua Walker Barnes. And it starts off, "Dear God, please help me hate white people, or at least to want to hate them. At least I want to stop caring about them individually and collectively. I want to stop caring about their misguided racist souls, to stop believing that they can be better, that they can stop being racist." Now, I don't know about you. I don't merely find that offensive. I find that disgusting. I find that out of bounds for a civil society. Now, I'm not saying you can't hate people because of the color of their skin. That's a fact. People have been doing it for millennia. But to reach out to God, asking for the power to hate people simply because of the color of their skin. I'm sorry, racist is not enough of an epithet for someone whose heart is so filled with hate and contempt as to want merely to hate them more. I say over and over again, if we will not learn from our history, we are doomed to repeat it. And I'm looking at the hate that enslaved generations of people, either because of the color of their skin or because of their country of origin, that not only discriminated against, but did so in brutal fashion. And not just the black, regardless of where they came from. It was done to the Chinese, it was done to the Irish, it was done to the Italians. And as much of the hate as we've seen through our history, to see this repeated by what I believe is, my information is correct, a theological professor, that hate is a sickness in America. The hate of other people simply because of the color of the skin, it is just as racist as promoting people because of the color of their skin. It's one thing to think that people are inferior. It's another to hate. And we've seen this throughout our history. The 20th century is a century of genocide and murder because of race, because of religion, because of ethnicity. The hundreds of millions of people that died in the 20th century because of the hatred of the other, apparently is a lesson that Ms. Walker Barnes hasn't learned, and apparently many in America have not learned. Another example, the other example, and this one made me ill. It's a quote from, I believe it's a book by a Barnard College professor, Ben Philippe. And he was, apparently what happened is he was on a Canadian broadcasting company. He was on a radio show, and he was asked about a book, and I guess he was quoting it. Quote, "When the race war hits its crescendo, I'll gather you all into a beautiful decorated room under the pretense of unity. I'll give a speech to civility and all the good times we share. I'll smile as we raise glasses to your good white health while the detonator blinks under the table, knowing the exits are locked and the air vents filled with gas. That is a level of hate. I'm assuming it's not unheard of in America. I'm not foolish enough to think people haven't. But truly, you know, there is a group of people for whom the words never forget have special meaning. Because they were rounded up. Granted, they weren't brought into beautiful decorated rooms. They were brought on train cars and shoved into boxes. Shoved into sterile rooms with no room to breathe. And the doors were locked. And the air vents were filled with gas. And they were murdered. 6 million Jews were murdered by the Nazis because they were different. Not because of anything they'd actually done. No one was charged with a crime. No one was tried and convicted. Simply their heritage was sufficient for them to be murdered. This is a stain on modern America. Now, we've had plenty of stains. Stains on America are nothing new. But to look at this level of hate, there's only a couple of reactions we can have. We can ignore it and say, no, that's not real. That's just some whack job. By the way, a whack job that I believe the Barnard College, I believe, is part of the City of New York University system. He's teaching the next generation. Do we really think he's not teaching them to hate people based on the color of their skin? Now, the other reaction is to get mad and huff and puff and call for him to be shut down or blocked or anything else. But nothing really happens. Now, the third way of looking at this, the way that I propose, I need to give you a little background. See, I look at Mr. Philip or Philippe and Ms. Walker Barnes as a disease. I don't mean them personally. I mean the ideas they are espousing. They're espousing the desire to hate people because of the color of their skin, the desire to murder people en masse because of the color of their skin is a mental disease. It's an illness. And it's spreading. And it's spreading farther and faster than I've ever seen in this country. And interestingly enough, I believe the solution to this disease is quite similar to the solution of a previous disease, a disease that also killed thousands, if not millions, of people over the years. You see, there's a gentleman by the name of Sir Alexander Fleming. And in 1928, he was working with some bacteria in a plate. And as I've heard the story told, there's several different ways, somehow a moldy piece of bread fell onto this plate. Now, as I originally heard it, it was left over the weekend. He came back in and he noticed that the bacteria adjacent to the mold had died. If you've seen pictures of a petri dish with bacteria, there's this kind of fuzzy gray, and wherever the mold was, there was a spot of clear. So you may be asking, what does that have to do with hate in America? Well, most of the people I talk to, most of the people that ask me questions, they're looking for the big solution. How do we change Washington? How do we change the federal government? How do we make these big changes? How do we change our state capital? In other words, how do we wipe out hate? How do we wipe out intolerance? And I mean true intolerance, not the twisted nonsense that says, I will tolerate you as long as you do exactly what I say. I'm talking true tolerance, the live and let live. The idea that letting people live how they want unless they actually harm you. And I don't mean make you feel bad or show you something you don't want to see. I mean actual harm. Well, the answer is not to try to destroy the giant organism that has taken over modern society. The answer is simple. We treat it the same way Sir Fleming saw bacteria being dealt with on his plate. There's a lot of talk nowadays about the vaccine. You've got vaxxers and anti-vaxxers, and is this vaccine better than that vaccine, and vaccine passports, and are vaccines going to be mandatory, and who's going to make them mandatory? There's a lot of talk about vaccines. What I find interesting is how a vaccine works. The purpose of a vaccine is to teach your body how to recognize something that's bad for it. Now, originally this was done with live cultures and different inoculations, and there's lots of ways of doing it, but the idea was you introduce something into your body that helps your body first recognize when a disease, a microorganism, a deadly pathogen or microorganism is attacking the body, to recognize it quickly, and then to understand how to defend against it. That's the purpose of a vaccine. You're telling your body to recognize this is bad, and then help the body fight against it. We need to do the same thing. See, I've treated the idea of reading and studying as important for years, but it's only until a few months ago it really dawned on me that what we're really trying to do is inoculate ourselves from these bad ideas. And I don't mean simple disagreements. We can disagree about a lot of things. But I mean hateful, destructive ideas. Ideas like praying to God to teach you to hate people because of the color of their skin. Or wanting to round them up and commit mass murder. How do we inoculate ourselves against those ideas? How do we inoculate ourselves against the idea of giving up our rights and liberties for a promise of safety? Or simply a promise of a goodie? We have to start with that inoculation. What is that inoculation? I believe the best inoculation is reading and understanding the Constitution. Now, it's not going to cure every disease. It's not going to get rid of every problem. But the idea is simple. In fact, it goes all the way back to our very first Chief Justice, who said every member of the state ought diligently to read and study the Constitution and teach the rising generation to be free. And he explained why. He says, by knowing their rights, they're sooner perceived when they are violated and be the better prepared to defend and assert them. We need to inoculate ourselves and we need to inoculate our children with the idea of freedom and liberty. Against the idea that we have any right to tell other people how to live their lives. That we have any right to infringe on the rights of another unless that person is actively infringing upon our rights. You say, what does this have to do with penicillin? Well, the interesting thing was there was a plate of deadly bacteria, Staphylococcus. And the moldy bread didn't wipe out the Staphylococcus. It didn't wipe out the bacteria. The penicillin in the moldy bread did not wipe out all of the bacteria in the dish. It created a small area in the dish that was free from the bacteria. The same way as an individual or a family alone cannot wipe out the hate and racism and tyranny in America. But we can create a bubble around ourselves where that doesn't exist. And if I do that in my family, and you do it in your family, and my neighbors do it in their family, we have a putrid dish of death with small pockets of life. We have a country of tyranny and racism with small pockets of liberty and freedom. But Paul, you say, you're just one man standing. Absolutely, I'm one man standing against a tidal wave. But here's the interesting thing. If I have my little bubble of liberty, and my neighbor does, and their neighbor does, and their neighbor does, well, those little bubbles of liberty start touching each other, and they can grow. And we can meet with our sheriff, and we can help expand our little family bubbles of liberty throughout more of the county. How do we do that? By offering to teach. You don't need to have a PhD. You don't even have to go to law school. You don't have to go to college. If you can read and study and understand the Constitution, you can help teach others. My response, my visceral response to Ms. Walker Barnes and Mr. Philippe, was gut-wrenching. I mean, I cannot hear that amount of hate and not have a visceral reaction. But being an adult, I don't want to take Mr. Philippe, Ms. Walker Barnes, I don't want to do to them what they claim to want to do to me. I don't want to pray that God will make me hate them. I don't want to pray that God will hurt them. I don't want to pray that they will be killed or gassed or harmed. No. I want them to be educated. To take the opportunity to think, how would they react if what they said was said about them? How would Ms. Walker Barnes react if a Asian person published a book where she asked God to help her hate black people? Or how would Mr. Philippe react if, say, someone from India were to write, a Hindu were to write about rounding up black people and gassing them? Until we get inoculated with the idea of liberty, freedom, allowing other people to live how they want, we have little defense against this type of hate. If we try to challenge this type of hate with hate of our own, we're only pouring gasoline on the fire and bringing the race war that apparently Mr. Philippe is looking for ever closer. So that I don't want to shut up Mr. Philippe. I don't want to shut up Ms. Walker Barnes. I pray for them. Because that level of hate cannot do well for a person's soul. There's an old saying, when you seek revenge, dig two graves. The very hate these people are expressing is the hate that is eating people alive. It is a mental disease that damages not only the carrier, but the ones they infect. So if we want to be at liberty, if we want to be a free people, if we want our rights respected, we must recognize the rights of even people with such vile ideas as Ms. Walker Barnes and Mr. Philippe. But we need to inoculate ourselves so that we don't adopt those ideas. And that is why I do the work that I do. That is why I put out these radio episodes. That is why I write the articles and do the videos and do the meetings and do the classes. That's why. Because I could make all the money in the world. I could have all the goodies I want. I could leave all that I have to my daughter, to the poor, to whoever I want. And it will mean nothing if I haven't left to them the ability to inoculate themselves against this type of hate, against the tyranny that is present in this country, and against the disease of the mind that racism and this hatred breeds. I do this not to save the world. I do it not to save America. I do it to save as much of my corner of it as I can, and to help as many of you save your corner of it as well. And if we do that, if I save my corner and you save your corner, maybe those corners will meet. Maybe those ideas will grow. And maybe these ideas will be seen for just what they are: racist hatred of a group that they call the other. Before we head off to break, there's actually one interesting point, and I'm not 100% sure of these numbers. I haven't seen anybody actually come up with a statistic of the numbers, but as I understand it, in 1776, when the colonies declared themselves free and independent states, approximately a third of the colonists were for independence. They wanted to break away from Great Britain. And another third wanted to remain British subjects. They were more than happy. The remaining third apparently didn't care much one way or the other. They didn't mind. But what I find most interesting is, from some of the studies I've seen, only about 3% of the American people fought for liberty. It didn't take a huge movement. It didn't take a huge number of people. It was 3% that were willing to fight, to shed blood, and sometimes to die for the idea of liberty. What happens if 3% of the American people will turn their backs on this hate and will work and will struggle, and yes, will fight if necessary, not just for their liberty, but for the liberty of others, including the liberty to hate whoever you want to hate, right up until the point you actually start harming them? Mr. Philippe can believe whatever he wants. He can feel whatever he wants, right up until the point that he starts dragging people into rooms and gassing them. You can find out more about this and other news items from America Out Loud. Make it your daily stop for the latest news and happenings. It's important that we do our part, that we share our stories, our articles, the podcasts, the videos. And if you want to help out, if you want to find out more about the Constitution, if you want to help out there, head to constitutionstudy.com, and I'll meet you after the break.
Now, never before in our history have we witnessed the level of hatred that is now being waged against our law enforcement. While anarchist groups create havoc and overwhelm our first responders, these same groups and their corporate supporters are calling for the police forces to be shrunk and defunded. What can you and I do to make a difference? How can we stand up for what is right and to show our support? That's what I'm going to tell you about this incredible new platform. It's called ShopToTheRight.com. And it's a new shopping platform that will help you find businesses that align with your values. They feature products made in America. They support veteran-owned businesses, as well as our law enforcement community. This is a time when we need to stick together. We need to shop together, and we need to support each other. It's time for you and I to make some noise and stand up to protect our country. And one easy way to do that is to shop and give our money to companies that don't seek to destroy our way of life. So join the fight for liberty. ShopToTheRight.com. Support those American businesses that support law enforcement and veterans.
While the cancel culture is determined to destroy our history, bringing violence and terror to city streets, America Out Loud will enhance its own message of love and honor for the American traditions and constitutional values that have always been the backbone of what America means: life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Welcome back there, Everyday Americans. Glad you could join me here at the Constitution Study. You know, we spent the first half of the show talking about two examples of racist hatred that are coming out of academia. This idea of infecting our minds and the minds of the next generation with racism and hatred is nothing new. It's one of the reasons why combating racism with racism never works. It just perpetuates the evil. But we can inoculate ourselves against that hate. And we can inoculate ourselves against the tyranny, against the idea, the mind that we are subjects of those in Washington, D.C., or in our state capital, as opposed to their masters. So I wanted to go through, and there's a couple of articles I found that really reminded me of the hatred that we're seeing. First one popped up is this reports of more and more of critical race theory in the schools, public schools, government-run secondary schools, college, university, even private institutions. We're seeing it in businesses. We're seeing it in corporations. It is a cancer to America. The very idea that race is determinative of a person's future is in itself racist. And in the twisted minds of some to say, we will institute racism to compete against racism, well, makes you understand why this stuff never works. I believe it also explains why this racism generates such hatred among its adherents. Because it's not about finding a solution. It's not about getting rid of racism. It's about getting your revenge on some assumed slight and using your emotions and your hatred to pump up your argument rather than data. This started with the ideas of part of it was political correctness, the idea of you have to silence yourself to avoid offending others. Now listen, I'm not suggesting we make a point of going out and offending people. That's not my point. The point is, freedom of speech is going to offend somebody. I mean, You can't even say the world is round without offending somebody. But now we're being told we have to first we were told we had to curb, we had to self-censor, because someone might be offended. Then we started with, well, diversity. We don't care if they're the best people. There have to be a certain number. We have to have quotas. We have to have affirmative action. We have to judge everybody based either on their race or their sex. And when people said, that's racist, they were shouted down. How dare you? Well, guess what? That has metastasized into what we today call critical race theory, where most likely your children are being taught to judge other children based on the color of their skin. I personally find that reprehensible. Do you? And if you do, what are you doing about it? Are you playing keyboard warrior and yelling and screaming on Facebook? Or are you doing something about it? Now, it's just not just racism that's being proposed in America. This vaccine I describe is not, of the mind is not simply against racism, but against tyranny. See, racism is simply another form of tyranny. Merriam-Webster defines a tyrant as an absolute ruler unrestrained by law or constitution, or a usurper of sovereignty. We've fought wars against this, yet probably the most recognizable feature of the last year, year and a half, has been rulers unrestrained by law or constitution. From Washington, D.C., to your state house, to your county house, the seat of your county government, disregarding the law and saying, you must wear a mask, you must be vaccinated, you must stay at home, you are not essential. Your business is not essential, your job is not essential, your livelihood is not essential. You are not essential. But while we expect to see tyranny coming out of government today, tyranny comes from more than just government. There's plenty of tyranny in government at all levels. But what about the tyrant on the street corner? The business that refuses to let you enter without a mask simply because they're afraid of what the county or state will do. They are simply acting as agents of tyrants, and that is just as much a tyrant as anyone else. This is a wonderful time for small businesses. It's a hard time for small businesses, but think about it. We have tyrants in large corporations that are telling people how to live their lives. You can't shop with us unless you wear a mask. You can't shop with us unless you show us you've been vaccinated. We won't sell your stuff because we don't like what it says. We will discontinue selling the book of a famous black Supreme Court justice because you don't like what he says. We'll shut down a constitutional author and teacher because we don't like what he says. We'll shut down the President of the United States because we don't like what he says. That isn't government tyranny. That's corporate tyranny. And to all your small business owners, please think of this. If we're all worried about what the big corporations are doing to steal our rights, to crush Americans under the tyranny of one-party rule, of a Marxist idea that central control is the only way, what better opportunity to show yourself different than to make a point of being a free business, a business founded on liberty? If you want to maintain yourself as a small business, put a sign in your window. If you respect our rights, we'll respect yours. No mask required. make a point of saying they are trying to steal. We, you know, make a point. We will not collect your data for marketing unless you give us permission to. Make a point of saying we won't infringe on your right to keep and bear arms as long as you don't threaten anyone else with them. Put a sign up that says, we refuse all government requests for information without a warrant. Yeah, the government thinks that if you, you know, if you do business with a company, any data you give them should be free to be handed over. Refuse. Stand up for the rights of your customers and make a point of it. If you think large corporations are stealing people's data, are stealing their rights, are buckling people under the tyranny of their magnitude, offer the alternative. It's not easy. They don't make it easy. But I remember back when I lived in New York, there were two reasons why I went to the local hardware store rather than the big box store. One, it was closer. And sometimes you just need a little something, and it wasn't worth the big drive to go to the big box store. That makes sense. But I prefer doing business with them, even for larger things, for one simple reason. When I walked in and said, hey, I need help. I'm trying to fix this. What do I need to do? There was a person that would answer. I could walk in the door. They may not know me by name, but they would recognize me. And if they ever saw me struggling with something, they would offer to help. If I was trying to fix something in the house and I didn't know what I needed, but I know I needed something, they were there to help. So I would do business with them. Sometimes it cost me more, sometimes not, it didn't. But they were there because they were willing to help. Why can't we do the same thing today? If the grocery store says you must wear a mask, the big chain grocery store says you must wear a mask, but the small mom and pop store says, no, we won't make you wear a mask. Guess where I'm going to go do business? If the big name brand coffee shop says, we are going to infringe on your rights, the small local store says, nope, be my guest. Guess where I'll do business? See, part of this inoculation against tyranny is not simply the big government things. Sometimes it's the little things. Sometimes it's the whether or not you'll allow critical race theory in your local school. Meet with your superintendent. Meet with your school board. If they're allowing critical race theory, call them out. Why do you want to teach racism? Why do you think it's important that we teach racism in our schools? And it's not just in our schools. The vaccination site in Seattle, Washington is not vaccinating white people. They're denying appointments to people because they're white. They're being told they have to go to the back of the bus, the back of the line. You have to wait for all the other people, all the black, Latino, whatever you want. You get vaccinated last. Are you at higher risk? Doesn't matter. Because the racists in Seattle, Washington, want you at the back of the bus. And it's not just color that they're racist against. There's a Connecticut, the state of Connecticut is ending religious exemptions. So if your religion, if your faith says you can't get vaccines, state of Connecticut doesn't care. We're going to make you take a vaccine. We don't care that it's against your religion. It's racist. It's not racism. It's what? Faithism? It's the belief that we have the authority to tell people how to live their lives. And this idea of freely exercising your religion just gets in our way. Not just race, not just religion. The Biden administration wants to force religious doctors and hospitals to provide transgender surgeries. Force them. Is that the same way the state of Colorado wants to force a cake baker to make cakes that offend his conscience? Is it the same force that the state of California tried to force crisis pregnancy centers to advertise for abortion? Now, you may look and say, you know what? People shouldn't be allowed to refuse to do that. You need an inoculation. We're not talking about denying people the right to life. We're talking elective surgeries. But you see, the tyrants don't care about the laws. The tyrants don't care about the Constitution. The tyrants will use any means they can to get what they want. The ends justify the means. And if that means so many people have to die, if that means that people have to be gassed, if that means people have to be vaccinated against their will, regardless of the medical risk to them, if that means your conscience has to be ground into dust, too bad. Too bad. Now California says, hey, if you live outside of California, you want to go to one of the theme parks, you have to prove you've been vaccinated. Really? We've now gotten to the point where we will require an experimental vaccine. We will demand that a private organization require an experimental vaccine to go to a theme park. Again, tyrants don't care about laws. Tyrants don't care that they're depriving these theme parks of their liberty, of their property, without due process of law. They don't care. And since most of the American people have not been inoculated against this, they simply say, oh, okay, you know, someone might get sick. The disease of tyranny creeps through their minds. Same way the disease of racism creeps through their minds. We see this when bureaucrats in Washington tell you how far apart your children must stay at summer camp. Tyrants. And people are going along with this because they haven't been vaccinated against it. We see people calling for a defunding of the police and then surprise when murders rise. I see a report here that murders rose 56% in the major cities that were defunding the police. In Chicago, arrests and stops dropped by 53%, while murders rose 65%. Comparing June 2019 through February 2020, and then June 2020 through February 21st. I'm sorry, February 2021. Minneapolis, arrests and stops decreased 42%, while murders increased 64%. See, it's the disease of the mind that says, if we just get rid of the police, everything will be fine. And then we see murders skyrocket. It's the disease of the mind that says liberty doesn't matter anymore. That says, as long as we have a loud enough cause, we can destroy people. We can destroy their lives. We can take away their liberty. We can grind them under the boot of oppression, be that oppression come from government, from businesses, or just from individuals in society. America is sick. And America will continue to get sicker until we do something about it. Now, we can discuss and debate the statistics about COVID-19. But this attack on our liberty long predated COVID-19. Yes, I've talked about vaccines, but that's not my point. My point is that the American mind has been infected with a sense of servitude, a willingness to submit and subject themselves to those in political office, to petty bureaucrats with titles, and to businesses with prestige. We've stopped asking ourselves, what is our liberty worth? Because we aren't taught to think on the lines of liberty. We aren't taught to stop and think, is this increasing freedom or decreasing freedom? We haven't been taught to think, is this even legal? Is it legal for governments to demand you wear a mask? Is it legal for governments to tell you you're not essential? Is it legal for governments to force you to shut down your business or stay in your home for a disease with a 98% survival rate? Is it legal? Most people don't know. So why do I do this? So that I can help other people inoculate themselves. So that they can create boundaries of freedom. So that no matter what else happens, we can have some protection around ourselves and our families. In the hopes that as that immunity to tyranny spreads, as more and more people recognize the importance not only of claiming to be free, but of actually living free. The land I leave my daughter would be at least a little bit freer than what we live in today. Now, don't get me wrong. America is still one of the best countries to live in. There's a reason why people risk their lives to come here. But the very things that are drawing them here are the very things that are trying to be stamped out. And the American people are helping it happen. Too many of the American people are pushing for it to happen. So if you want to find out more, please, I ask, read the Constitution. Like I said, you can go online, founders.archives.gov, search for the Constitution. You can read it absolutely free. You want to use one of my tools, you want to get a copy of How to Read the Constitution in 30 Days, great. You can get a digital copy free at the Constitution Study. Just ask for it. Sign up for the newsletter or just click the link for the free book. Fill out a little form and I will give you a digital copy of that book. You want to do more? You want to learn more? Sure, you could get the study book, the Constitution study. You could head to constitutionscholars.com. Find others and learn. Help each other read, study, discuss, debate, inoculate ourselves against the tyranny that has become so prevalent in America. Against the hatred, against the vindictiveness that seems to be so much a part of, if not the American people, what we see and hear so much throughout the country. Ask yourself if your rights and liberties, if your freedom is worth just a little bit of work. Then if you have children, look them in the eye and ask yourself, is their liberty worth it? Because until we, the people, demand that the Constitution be enforced, and in fact enforce it ourselves, America will continue to slide into tyranny and despotism and disaster. And you can find out more about my show and all the latest podcasts. Go to AmericaOutloud.com. Look under our shows or under schedule. You'll find the Constitution Study. You'll also find some other great people trying to help you secure America's future, your future, and the blessings of liberty for you and for your family. And I look forward to the next time when we can meet together here at the Constitution Study.